And so Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own country. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, Lord, as we are reminded of your birth at this season of the year, Lord, it's my prayer that you would be glorified in our hearts, magnified and exalted, and Lord, that we would worship you as you are worthy. And we certainly need your grace to do that, Father. Our hearts are dull, our minds and thoughts get distracted, and Lord, we just want right now that you would meet with us here. And Lord, the thought that you put on my heart to share this morning, I pray that it would really just bear fruit in our lives, that you would help it and give us ears to hear, give us hearts to receive what you want to give. And just thank you for Jesus. Thank you for being our Father. For these things, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a title on the sermon that it might get your mind a little bit confused at first. The title is this: The Insignificance of the First Christmas. Now, before you worry about that too much, just hold on and I'll explain. But what gives significance to something or to someone? That's a question we'll think about this morning and perhaps answer. I think we'll answer that. We noticed in verse number 14 that he says, Glory to God. The angel said, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I've preached from that verse before on Christmas in two locations. Of course, in the heavens, there was the angels singing, there was glory to God, and so forth. And on earth, of course, they pronounced peace. Christ had come, the Prince of Peace, to give peace and to bring goodwill toward men. But the response in heaven was one of glory and praise and singing and this sort of thing amongst the angels of heaven and so forth. On earth, the response, of course, at the first Christmas was a little different. It was much more subdued and largely, I think we understand, was largely overlooked. You know, this birth that took place that night was not recognized by many. And we'll talk more about that. But when I say the insignificance of the first Christmas, don't argue with me in your mind. I just need to lay some groundwork. I know we had a lot to do this morning. I don't plan to take a lot of time with this, but I want to lay a little bit of groundwork helping you to understand what I want to say. And then at the end, I'll give you the lesson or the principle that I believe we can learn from it. But certainly, let me just say this in the beginning, that the birth of Jesus Christ was part of the most significant event that ever has taken place or ever will take place. There's nothing that outweighs, there's nothing that would be more significant to mankind than Jesus Christ's birth. And of course, I say it's part of the greatest significant event, which includes, I would say, the birth and then the life and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But you can't have, of course, you know, we could say today that the birth of Christ was the most significant event in all of history. And then Easter, we would say the resurrection of Christ was the most significant event of all history. And of course, really, you don't have one without the other. And so we could take it as a whole, the coming of Christ. And that's without question true. But as we think about the insignificance, as we're just looking at surveying the story and trying to imagine putting yourself in that place around Jerusalem, Bethlehem, in Israel of that day, and really looking at it from maybe the perspective. Now, I understand if you were one of the shepherds, if you were, you know, with Mary and Joseph and you heard the angels singing, you would recognize the significance of the event. But most, from what we read in the scriptures, did not recognize it. And to many, it was quite insignificant. I was thinking about the insignificance of what we see here. First of all, I'll just give you three things quickly. The insignificant place. Where was Jesus born? He was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem of Judea. Now, Bethlehem, I think you probably would understand, is really a small village, sort of a hamlet. Jerusalem obviously was the Mecca or the city, you know, the big metropolis of that area of Israel. Perhaps of all Israel, Jerusalem was the place. And when the wise men who saw their star in the east, and they traveled, they weren't there the night Jesus was born. They weren't there at the manger, as some portray it. But they saw the star in the east when Christ was born, and they traveled. And they went to the logical place. The King of the Jews was born. They recognized the significance of the star. But they went to Jerusalem. And rightly, you know, I mean, we wouldn't fault them for doing that, because Jerusalem was where the king lived. That's where the palace was. That's where the temple was, the temple of God. And if God sent the King of the Jews, many people believe that the wise men in the east perhaps had the writings of Daniel, who was a captive Jewish man in that part of the world, and he wrote about the timing of the birth of Christ. And perhaps they understood from the writings of Daniel the time frame, and then seeing the star, they put the two together and recognized that the Christ had come. But they didn't have the prophecy of Micah chapter 5. In Micah chapter 5, when they got to Jerusalem, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And they said, "What are you talking about?" You know, basically. And then they said, "Well, we've seen a star in the east, and we recognize the timing, and the King of the Jews is born." And so they searched, where would he be born? And the scribes finally found Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. That is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And even the prophecy there in Micah says, you know, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. When the wise men heard that he was born in Bethlehem and they went out and they saw the star, you know, the scribes that were there, those who looked up the prophecy, they didn't even go with them. You know, wouldn't you think they'd have been curious? Wouldn't you think they'd say, well, we got to find this, you know, the King of the Jews has been born. But I don't know what all their thoughts or reasons were, but maybe they thought Bethlehem, you know, well, you guys go down to Bethlehem. We're not interested in going to Bethlehem. And they just wrote it off. But Bethlehem was a pretty small town, you know, kind of like where I grew up. If I told you the name of the place I grew up, now today you can Google it and you can find it. But that's about the only way you'd ever find it. I could say this in sincerity. If everyone in this room was from Pennsylvania, where I was born and raised, none of you still would know where Hightown was. I don't think probably 90% of the people who live in that state know where the town of Hightown is. It's just a little tiny place in the middle of a, you know, you'd say, okay, where's Hightown? Well, I've never heard of that. What's it near? Well, do you know Titusville? No, I don't really know Titusville. Well, do you know Oil City? No, I don't know that. Meadville? No. You know, I'd have to go to Pittsburgh before you'd ever find somewhere you'd heard of before. And that's 150 miles away, you know. But Bethlehem was kind of that kind of place, you know. It was a little hamlet surrounded by shepherd fields, sheep fields. It was, in the minds of most Israelites, insignificant. Yes, it was the city of David. Centuries before, a little shepherd boy named David had become king of Israel. But that was so long ago, you know, probably a lot of the Jewish people forgot that David was from. Where's he from? Oh, yeah, he was from Bethlehem, wasn't he? Yeah. But it was an insignificant place. And then I thought about insignificant people. Joseph and Mary were not, in the list of who's who or whatever. They were just ordinary, common, what we might refer to, not disrespectfully, but as insignificant people. I mean, Mary was a young virgin, a young lady. Some, you know, put her at age, I've heard people say as young as 12 or 14 or 16 or 18, or I don't know how old she was, but she was a young woman. And, you know, in their culture, women, honestly, didn't have a lot of identity of their own. They, you didn't have famous names of ladies, and especially young ladies. They were mostly identified with their fathers or with their husbands. And so Mary was an insignificant young little lady from Nazareth, even. If you think Bethlehem is a small town, Nazareth is in the boondocks. I mean, it's out in, you know, and it's not even in Judea, it's in Galilee, which they consider, you know, up there in the, you know, that's way out in the hick, in the sticks, you know. And so they're from Nazareth. And Joseph was a carpenter. As far as I know, he didn't build anything monumental or very memorable, but just simple carpentry things. And matter of fact, Joseph, you know, we don't know a lot about, actually, you know, except the initial birth of Christ, and then later when he was about 12, and then after that, you don't read about Joseph anymore. And so Joseph was a very common man from a small place in Galilee, and they were relatively insignificant. The shepherds, these are the people of the first Christmas story. Now stay with me, I really do have a point in this, all right? The shepherds, I read commentators, and they're really hard on the shepherds. I kind of want to give them a break. You know, they said shepherds were really thought upon as low. They were. It was a despised trade, which is surprising to me. I don't think shepherds is that bad of a deal, but I guess it was looked upon as a pretty unskilled thing to watch sheep. You know, you're just out there watching sheep. You know, and there wasn't a lot of training necessary. You know, boys could do it. You know, they had a dog or something, and they just watched the sheep. And so it was kind of, you know, the lower class, to be honest with you, of people that had no ambition or had no skill or training, and they were just shepherds. And so the shepherds, you know, were, again, an insignificant group in that category. And then who else is in this story? Well, I said to Betsy yesterday, I said, you know, it's kind of, it struck me that every children's play, when they have a play about the Christmas story, there's always an innkeeper, but you never even read about an innkeeper in the Bible. Did you ever realize that? It doesn't say there was an innkeeper. I'm sure there was. All it says is there was no room in the inn. But no doubt there was a keeper of the inn. But anyway, so there was an insignificant place, insignificant people, and then insignificant proceedings, or the event itself was, in the minds of a lot of people, an insignificant event. I mean, yes, a child was born. That, you know, we understand that's a wonderful thing, but it is a common thing, right? So let me just put it to you this way. What do you suppose the next day's headlines in the newspaper were? You know, King of the Jews is born? No, I don't think so. Child is born and put in a feed box? Maybe. I don't know. But probably that wasn't headline news. Do you know what was likely the headline news of that day? Was taxes. You know, Caesar Augustus has taxed us again, and we got to travel. And there's, you know, that would be the story. And if Mary and Joseph's baby, you know, born and out in the elements, no room in the inn, it's a story that might have caught interest. The shepherds spread it around. Maybe it made page 10 or something. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I doubt if it was headline news. I don't think it was well reported and really caught the interest of people. So you have an insignificant place with insignificant people and what was considered by them an insignificant event. But what is the point of that? I was looking at this Christmas story again in the Bible, and I've preached so many messages about Christmas, but I was thinking about the humbleness and all of these things and the insignificance of these things. And what is it that makes this event, this story, and these people so significant, so valuable, so meaningful? It's Jesus, right? And this is my point today. Jesus is what makes you and I significant. If we have any significance at all, if our life is to hold any meaning or value, really, you know, if Christmas, let's just take Christmas today, if you were to do a report, let's say you were from a country that you didn't celebrate Christmas like we do, and you came and you reported on Christmas in Canada, what would seem to be the significance of this holiday? Again, I think Christ would be lost in the, you know, they would say, well, it was about, you know, what I saw decorations, I heard music, I there was lots of sales and shopping, and you know, people were buying gifts, and there was some charitable giving, and there was family gatherings, and there was parties, and this seems to be the significance of Christmas to a lot of people. But how shallow that is, how fleeting that is. It's only when we realize that it's Christ that makes Christmas. It's Jesus that brings significance to the holiday that is more than just something on the calendar. Christ brings significance to our lives. Jesus makes significance out of Christmas. Mary and Joseph, Bethlehem, the shepherds all have great significance today to us. It's because of Jesus. And when you discover that who Jesus is, and you let him be the center of your Christmas and the center of your life, you find meaning that lasts not just for a month or a week or a day, but throughout the rest of your life. Simple thought, really a simple message. But as I said earlier, the birth of Jesus Christ and the event of his coming to the earth is the greatest, most significant, most meaningful thing in the history of man. And you know what? When I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, that was the most significant event in my entire life. I've had other events that I remember and some I forget a lot about, but there's one event that took place in my life in 1985 that changed everything. And it's never been the same since. And that's when I received Christ as my Savior. It was the most significant event in my life. And I'm just saying this morning, Christmas is a wonderful time of year, but its significance, its meaning is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And you can know him as your Savior. And your life will have greater meaning when you put trust in Jesus Christ. That's what I want to share with you this morning. Let's all stand. Have you found that true, sincere, lasting significance? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? That's something you have to ask yourself in your heart. You can go through all the holidays, the people in the day Jesus was born. It was a busy hustle-bustle. There's no room in the inn. And there was things happening, but they missed the real event. And I hope you don't miss the real event. Let's bow for a word of prayer.